The home of the Suns run to the championship.
Crowder waiting with it. Lobs it under.
Yes!
It's good. DeAndre Ayton scores the basket over the rim and in.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station and the Arizona Sports app.
Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Calculator.
The Suns are up 2-0 in the Western Conference Finals. Burns and Gambo talk Suns Clippers now.
3 o'clock hour, Burns and Gambo show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Phoenix Suns beat the LA Clippers last night, absorbed every single body blow that organization could throw at the Phoenix Suns, and yet somehow, some way,
it's a good way to put it.
They emerged the way, I mean,
body blows.
You think about that game, and we're going to talk about Ayton in 30 seconds. You think about that game. There are a lot of people in Los Angeles who believe. There are a lot of people around the NBA who believe, given everything that kind of happened in last night's game, that was the Clippers' best shot to win a game in Phoenix, and they missed. They didn't take advantage of Phoenix's poor shooting, of Devin Booker's bad night, of the defense that Pat Bev was putting on Devin Booker. Jake Crowder was rough. Another game without Chris Paul. You didn't take advantage of it. It was right there, and you weren't able to seal the deal. And now the series goes back to L.A., or goes to L.A., I should say. Game three, Thursday night, 6 o'clock, Gambo and others reporting Chris Paul expected to be ready to go Thursday night for that game three. Now let's talk about DeAndre Ayton.
Let's talk about him.
I thought our tease, that Jordan wrote the tease, which is what I say right before we go into the commercial break, and I thought it was spot on. It was right on the money. Everybody today is talking about DeAndre Ayton and the play.
Okay.
And the dunk. And that moment and that crescendo and that wall of sound at Phoenix Suns Arena last night. Man, last night was about so much more for DeAndre Ayton. There's so much there to unpack from his game.
Okay, where do you want to start?
I want to start in the third quarter when he almost single-handedly took over that game.
Eight straight baskets. Every way you could think that he would score outside of, like, you know, a three-point shot. He had a hook shot, took a pass from Jay and scored on a hook shot. Then he had a feed and he drove the lane. Then he had an alley-oop from Book, and then he hit a 15-foot jumper. So he hit a long-distance jumper.
Yep.
He had a hook shot. He had a driving basket where he laid it in, and he had an alley-oop. I mean, it's this kid's sensational. I mean, I've been a fan of his. I've been in his corner the whole time. Others have too, so I'm not alone. There was some people, like a lot of people just weren't sure on DeAndre. And it was fine. Like, that's fine. I mean, he's not the DeAndre Ayton today is not the DeAndre Ayton that I was supporting months ago. This is a much different player. But when I was supporting him, I envisioned this. I had to.
It's a good way of putting it.
The DeAndre Ayton I supported many, many months ago, this is not him. This player's different. This is the player I was hoping he would be. I envisioned him becoming as to why I supported him. I always thought that he could do this.
Yeah.
I truly believed that he could. But when I was, when I was banging the drums for DeAndre Ayton for all of those months and years, it was not because of who he was at that time. It's because of who he is now.
Here's what that stretch kind of sounded like last night.
Jackson gets into the lane, gets in underneath, shots blocked by DeAndre Ayton, and he grabs it underneath before it can go out of bounds. Gets it to Crowder. Right side, Cameron Payne. Crowder, three-pointer. No good. Rebound underneath. The follow-up is good by Mikal Bridges.
And again, the play is made by DeAndre Ayton.
Yep.
Battling for the ball, pops to Mikal Bridges for the nice little finish.
Yeah, I like the way that you phrased that a second ago. The version of DeAndre Ayton, you're seeing everyone can get behind this version of DeAndre Ayton. It took a little vision and a little patience, and I'll be the first to admit, I never advocated trading him. I never advocated getting rid of him. But I was one of those guys who wondered, is the effort where it needs to be? Is the work ethic where it needs to be? Is he putting everything into this that he needs to be as good as he can be? And DeAndre Ayton, even after last night's game, admitted, Monty Williams turned me into a gym rat, showed me what I needed to do to take my game to that next level.
I can say this, Monty definitely made me a super gym rat. There was times where I wouldn't even come in for on day offs. It's a thing called, smell the gym, touch the ball at least. And, he really instilled that in me where I constantly wanted to, just sharpen my screws and, just be the best I can be. And knowing the type of level and the type of, play style, we have to come in, night out, and to be consistent in what I do, I have to be in the gym. And, you know, just to see the results now at a high level and where we are right now, you know, I don't want to get out the gym. And, you know, that's what he really, you know, instilled in me, and I kept it going.
He's the first player in the shot clock era with a 70-plus field goal percent in any 12-game postseason span. Shot clock era of 1954-55 season. He is the first player in that shot clock era with a 70-plus field goal percent in any 12-game postseason span. That's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
He is, there's a bunch of things that he's doing. Third Suns player to make a go-ahead shot inside the final second of a playoff game over the last 25 postseasons. He's had the most games with 20 points and 70% field goal percents in a postseason. Shot clock era, the only one ahead of him is James Worthy with 6. He's tied with Dwight Howard, Shaq, and Kevin McHale. The most games with 20 points and a field goal percentage of 70%. He doesn't miss shots.
No, he doesn't.
He's just not missing any shots.
Because he takes shots that are
high percentage,
very easy to make, right? But that's what I liked about last night's game. You saw him spreading it out a little bit, mixing in those mid-range jumpers, making those mid-range jumpers. Making those guys think that there's more there. Look, I think back. Somebody reminded me of this on Twitter. I can't remember who. It was, I mean, where are we? In the middle of June right now. It was back in March. DeAndre Ayton wasn't playing in the fourth quarter of these games. Okay, as crazy as it is, say it.
Yeah.
Remember those games?
Yes, because that's when we had that conversation. What was he doing wrong? We went over this yesterday.
Of course, yeah.
All the things that they said, because I talked to the sub. What is he doing wrong?
It was just 3 months ago that DeAndre Ayton was a did-not-play coach's decision in the fourth quarter of some of these games.
Not getting to his spot, right. Hesitant, not knowing. Now, there's no hesitation. I'm getting to that basket hard, and he's gotten there.
Dave McMiniman is a reporter for ESPN.com. I saw a tweet last night. I took a screenshot of it. According to Dave McMiniman of ESPN, a Western Conference executive told him that DeAndre Ayton is the closest we have seen to Hakeem Olajuwon since Hakeem Olajuwon retired.
Can you buy that?
Maybe. You know what? Why not?
Why not?
I mean, today, it's sort of like what you just said a second ago. This version of DeAndre Ayton, there's still more that needs to happen.
Oh, he's going to get so much better.
But yeah, I can, like the vision that you had of seeing what DeAndre Ayton could be eventually, he's 22 years old.
He's going to get better.
He's going to get better. Mm-hmm. He's going to get smarter. He's going to get more aware, more confident. It's when all of that stuff came, yeah, I could see that. I mean, to the point where we talked about a pre-show. There were three centers who made the All-NBA team. Jokic made the first team. Embiid made the second team. Rudy Gobert made the third. On this path, can DeAndre Ayton pass the third team guy? Can he pass the second team guy? Has he already passed the third team guy? If you were building a team from scratch right now, would you rather DeAndre Ayton or Rudy Gobert? You might actually prefer DeAndre Ayton.
Me, I would say DeAndre. I love Rudy Gobert, but I would pick DeAndre.
Because he's much more multifaceted. I'll tell you, for the first time last night, you've mentioned this a few times this year, and every time I was like, yeah, but in the context of the offense, the flow of the offense, last night was the first night where I swear I'm like, why are they not getting that dude more shots?
Right.
There were stretches where he vanished. There were stretches where he's on the floor, and you've been banging that drum for months. Last night, I was, come on, guys, get the ball to DeAndre Ayton.
They can't stop. They have no answer.
They have no answer. Get the ball to DeAndre Ayton. They've got zero answer. What are you doing? Get the ball to him. That was my moment last night where I thought, you guys are making a serious mistake in not getting the ball to Ayton here.
You know what I thought about last night? I thought about a lot of the conversations of, you know, oh, he'll never be as good as Luka, but if he just is a good player, you know, it'll work. You know what? Screw that. Maybe he can be as good as him. Maybe he can be better than him. Maybe he can have a better career than Luka. All of these people, maybe if he's just, you know, if he's a good player, then all right, we can live with it. He doesn't have to be the best player into the first. You know what? There's a chance. Maybe the guy ends up having a better career. Luka's great, but DeAndre's great.
He could.
There's a chance that he could have a better career.
I don't think there's anything dismissive, though, in saying, much like the Michael Jordan conversation, can he be Hakeem Olajuwon to Michael Jordan?
Okay.
And is there anything wrong with that?
By the way, I just looked it up. Hakeem Olajuwon's first year in the league, he was 22. His first year in the league, he was 22 years old.
Yeah.
He was almost 23 when he played for the first time. Because that was his first year in the league, was 22. That's what DeAndre is now.
Text Suns, S-U-N-S, to 620-620. Get breaking news, the latest updates regarding the Phoenix Suns. Again, text Suns to 620-620. He had a chance to seal the game and play the role of the hero. You want to blame somebody for what happened last night from the Clippers? It's not that hard. That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Getting set at the free throw line for his second. George. All right, George is ready. Here's the look. Here's the free throw. It won't go. Rebound comes down to the Suns, and they call a timeout. Oh, wow.
Yeah, oh, wow is right.
Wow.
Al McCoy. It was, okay, the loudest the building got was obviously the Valley Oop. No one's going to debate that.
Man, oh, and after the Booker shot too, it was crazy in there.
But
when Booker hit that jumper to put him up, the place went nuts.
But a close second or third for me would have been when Paul George missed both of those. The place went berserk when he missed those two free throws. And I mean, look,
he missed five in the game, right? Was it 5 for 10?
It was 5 for 10. Wow. I think he was 4 of 8 in the second half.
Choked.
He did.
Choked. Pressure. It's a pressure situation.
Yep.
You're on the road, hostile environment. You missed two free throws. I mean. You know, I read so many things about this afterwards. I mean, entering tonight's game, Paul George went 0-for-2 from the free throw line once this season. February 21st against Brooklyn, he had done it. In the 338 free throws he had taken since the start of the season, he missed both on the same trip just that one time. I mean, he just choked. I mean, there's no other way to did it. I mean, he was a hero after he hit the shot, and he was the GOAT after he missed the two free throws. And it's squarely on him. I mean, he hits those two free throws. It's very likely the Clippers win that basketball game.
Be a three-point game at that point with about 10 seconds to go. You'd need a three-pointer to tie, which could have happened, potentially might have happened. But instead, you set the Suns up for a position to not need a three-pointer to win that game. Paul George, afterwards, on why they lost.
We lost the game off free throws. We lost the game on 1 point. We lost the game on a tip jam. You know what I mean? So, you know, with all that, we held the team, a good offensive team, to 103. So, I mean, you know, we'd be nitpicking to say this or that. We're playing really good. We're playing great. It's limiting mistakes. And, you know, that's just what it comes down to. Game plan mistakes that we can continue to just limit.
There's been a lot of conversation about Paul George today. And it's based in, like you mentioned, the pressure. Ty Lue last night mentioned the fatigue and how he's played 40-plus minutes in three of the last four games, and it might finally be getting to him. I was listening to our friend Ramona Shelburne. She was on Bickley and Murata when I was driving in, and she had suggested, look, you're also maybe you're starting to see what it looks like. Paul George typically isn't the alpha male on this team. Kawhi Leonard is. And with no Kawhi Leonard, it's required Paul George to be the alpha male of the Clippers, and it just might not be a role that he's comfortable in. You know, it might not be a role that
he's
kind
of like
for.
Instead of what was the lion's name that tried to take over the Pride Land? Sar?
Yeah, Scar.
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 So is he Scar?
He's Scar
is
instead
Paul
of
George
Scar Mustafa.
Instead of Mustafa,
he's just not
Mufasa.
Mufasa,
not Mustafa.
Mufasa. Sorry,
Mufasa Shakur.
I haven't seen Lion King in a long time. It's been a while.
Kawhi's Mufasa and Paul George's Scar.
My references might be a little off. I apologize for that.
I would like
to watch Lion King again. Lion King's just a phenomenal movie, but I haven't watched it in 20 years.
Clipperland certainly looked like what the Pride Land looked like.
The Boneyard.
Looked like a boneyard right there.
Full
That's
of javelinas.
What Clipperland was looking like. Yeah, yeah. The javelinas were running around.
Yeah, Ramona was kind of suggesting that, look, I mean, he just might be worn out from and to Paul George's credit, all right? Okay, yeah, he choked it last night. There's no doubt. They're not here without him, right? They're not here without he has taken over the last four games of that Utah series to get them to this point.
They're also not down 2-0 without it, with him. If he makes those free throws, it's 1-1.
I know.
Very likely.
I know. I just want to make sure that
he gets credit, sure.
He's got to get credit for what he's done in the absence of Kawhi Leonard. He might have hit his wall last night.
If they don't get to the finals, it doesn't matter. He's not going to get any credit at all. He wasn't able to do it.
Sure.
I mean, if you know, it's just This is a tough business, man.
There's no doubt.
Hey, listen, Paul George played so hard. But he missed two free throws against Phoenix. That's what people are going to remember.
Of course. There's no doubt.
Hey, what do you remember about Paul George? He wasn't able to get him to the finals. They had a Suns team with no Chris Paul for the first two games, and he wasn't able to deliver them a victory, and he choked, and he missed two free throws.
And I'm not sitting here suggesting fatigue is the only reason why he missed those free throws last night. It was a pressure-packed moment, and he wasn't up for the moment. He hits those two free throws, and I tell you, you know the phrase, ball don't lie? That phrase was being thrown out a ton last night, and here's the reason why.
Okay.
What set up those two free throws was Patrick Beverley knocking the ball away from Devin Booker, that lengthy review in which they ultimately decided the ball, in fact, went off of Devin Booker's hands, and everybody that I read and heard from around the basketball community, it's like, man, that's such a garbage call. The spirit of the rule says that should be Suns ball. Patrick Beverley, the player who knocks the ball out of the hands, you don't need a review to decide whose ball that is. It should be Suns ball, side out, play on. And because Scott Foster, in his lack of wisdom, decided to review that what did we decide? There were five reviews and five made shots in the last minute and a half, that it took them 30 minutes of game time to play 90 seconds off the clock last night, right?
1:32 left, ball out of bounds, went to the Clippers. That was off Aiden. 1:06 left, no call on the floor. Pat Bev went down like a ton of bricks with a flop. Booker's arm got a piece of his face. That was a review. 9.2 seconds left, ball out of bounds.
That's the one.
Pat Bev, they reviewed it and reversed the call. Clippers ball. 0.9 left, out of bounds after McHale's corner three was missed, went off of a man. It was reviewed and remained that way. And then 0.7 left, the review after DeAndre's dunk. Those were the five reviews, and that took 33 minutes with 1:32 left.
The basketball community that I read on social media and heard from hated the fact that they reversed that Booker Beverley call. Hated it. It's like that is not, and they hated it on the broadcast too.
Van
I went
Gundy
back and watched
was,
it later. Van Gundy's like, that is not what the rule's there for. The rule there is Beverley knocked the ball out of bounds, side out, Phoenix Suns play on. What are we talking about here?
The SportsCenter guy was Scott Van Pelt.
Yes.
So he was arguing with Van Gundy. His point was, look, you got to get it right. If it takes 32 minutes to get it right, you got to get it right. You can't make a mistake. And Van Gundy was like, look, I respectfully disagree, man. You can't have a minute and a half of a basketball game taking 33 minutes. You just can't do it.
Yeah.
So they got to so there was an argument,
a friendly argument.
About, because Van Pelt was just saying, look, you have to get it right. These calls are important. You have to get them right. You can't get them wrong. And Van Gundy's saying it's ridiculous that 90 seconds in a basketball took 33 minutes.
I would agree with that. And the ball don't lie mantra is basically karma. You know, it was karma that Paul George missed those two free throws because the ball never should have belonged to the LA Clippers in the first place. Ball don't lie. There was being thrown around on Twitter all night in that moment. Text the word Suns to 620-620. Get your breaking news and the latest updates regarding the Phoenix Suns. Again, text the word Suns to 620-620. His team is playing great. They're up 2-0 in the Western Conference. Did James Jones think this roster was capable of the heights they are reaching now? We'll ask the GM coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. This is the Suns Front Office Show, presented by First Bank. First Bank is proud to be the official bank of the Phoenix Suns. First Bank, banking for good, member FDIC.
Our weekly visit with Suns General Manager James Jones. He joins us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Suns win, beat the LA Clippers last night, up 2-0, and are 2 wins away from the NBA Finals. And James, the only question I have for you, have you ordered your Valley Oop shirt yet, or have you not gotten online yet to order that?
I mean, I have plenty of Suns gear. I don't think I need any more.
You don't need a Valley Oop shirt. They're available now. I got the alert from the Suns team store that you can now order them online. I just wanted to make sure James got his. That's all.
Well, what a remarkable.
Yeah, no, I mean, I need some inventory for the fans to get it. Like I said, it was pretty special. It was a memorable moment. I think it'll go down as probably one of the greatest, if not the greatest, Suns playoff moment. I mean, up until this point, and hopefully we can make some more memorable moments as we move forward.
You guys are making memorable moments day after day. It's been an incredible run, and we're enjoying it so much. What was your favorite part about the play. Was it the design by Monty? Was it the pass by Jay, the screen by Book, the finish by D.A.? I know you're going to say all of them, but there's got to be one that stands out a little bit more above the rest.
The pass by Jay. You know, all of it came together. But, you know, if that pass is 2 inches shorter, Zubac touches it, you know, before D.A. gets a chance to get it. So I thought the pass by Jay was immaculate. It was a precision pass, and you know it's funny. You know, guys like Jay who've been there, they find a way to come through in the clutch, and he did that with that pass yesterday.
I'm curious, how often do you think that the team has worked on that type of play?
I don't think you work on it daily. Those are the types of plays you only need to work on once, really. The components of the play, you know, setting the back screen. We set back screens every day, so you get a lot of reps at that. You know, the passes, you know, throwing lob passes, we work on those independently. But as far as the timing, you really can't simulate those moments. You don't know if the guy will go over, if he'll go under, if Devin's guy helps. You got to process a lot. So I just think it shows that the daily work that our guys are doing to be precise in their execution, when you stack it all together, it puts you in a position to execute something like we did last night.
Are you surprised by the number of players in today's NBA who might not be familiar with that rule? And do you think that will ever be a problem again after last night, given that it was such a high-profile use of the rule?
I think more people will be aware of it. It's just tough. You talk about that play being a play that happens once every 3 years, every 4 years, so it fades from memory. And if you just look purely at the numbers, you know, how often will you do that? So I think guys will be aware of it, but they'll forget just because there's so many plays in between, like the ones we had last night.
Suns GM James Jones, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo show, through the reporting of Gambo and others around the NBA, there's word out there that Chris Paul might be available for Game 3. Is there any news you care to break while you're on with us, James?
No, I mean, every night we have our injury reports. You know, Chris is moving closer, and when he does clear protocol, we'll let everyone know. But at this time, we're just continuing to make sure that we adhere to the rules and get him through this protocol.
Sure. Can you tell us if he did do a cardio exam this morning with the team doctors?
I can't. I won't talk about our players' health and their status when they're in the protocol. I'll just say if they're in it or if they're out. I know people want information, but that's not for me. To give out.
So about 5:30 today, should we expect another injury report?
Yeah, you know, the injury report today and going forward, that's how we'll communicate where he is in the protocol.
Okay, great. Let's talk about Devin Booker. I know what it's like to have a nose like that a little bit, so I've been through that quite a few times. What's the status on Book's nose? Is he going to wear a mask in this next game? Was there a break in the nose? It looked like there was a break in the nose to me.
I mean, I know he got evaluated last night. He was a little sore. We're going to take today to figure out, you know, where he is. But and now he's playing. You know, he got some stitches last night. I had a chance to ice that thing this morning, but he's good to go, and he'll be ready to rock tomorrow.
As it relates to Devin, if he is to wear a mask tomorrow night in Game 3, I mean, you were a player forever in this league. How does that affect some guys? Does that change the equation a little bit for a player in terms of trying to get used to that? Have you ever had to wear a mask during your playing career, James?
No, I haven't. We had guys that have worn them. For some, it could be uncomfortable, but, you know, I don't see it being an issue. I don't think there's anything that can happen to Devin that will prevent him from playing and playing at a high level right now.
So many guys on his team are getting credit for what they did, and rightfully so. I don't want to discount what Cam Johnson was able to do, hitting those shots, especially in that third quarter when Book was out for such an extended period of time. D.A. was great, but Cam had a drive to the basket, and he scored. He had a jumper, and he scored. In the fourth quarter, he had a big three-point shot. Jay was struggling a little bit. Mikal was struggling a little bit. You needed Cam Johnson to make some shots. He did that for you last night.
Cam was huge for us. You know, that's something that when you have as much depth as we have, a lot of guys, their production and their contributions get overlooked. But, you know, if you look at his efficiency last night, the timely buckets that he made defensively, Some of the plays that he made, they were crucial and crucial moments. And I can see his confidence continuing to grow with every passing game. And we're going to need him to continue to do that. The strength of our team is in our numbers. And we're expecting guys to step up every night. And last night I thought was Cam's night.
DeAndre Ayton was sensational again, and not just just another great game. That first quarter, he absolutely carried you guys, and then for that stretch in the third, and then the big block shot. But it wasn't too long ago where Dario was getting a lot of the big fourth quarter minutes and not DA, and he was struggling a little bit. He wasn't getting to his spots quick enough. He was kind of jogging out of the screens and, you know, just kind of looking around instead of just getting there and not clearing the lane. And when you posted him up, he wasn't ready for the ball. All stuff that was fixable. How did it get fixed so quickly?
Just through repetition, desire, and you know, consistency. You know, I think he's found his game, at least his baseline for his game. He has so much more room to grow, but he's growing in the basics. You know, understanding timing, understanding his spots on the floor, getting to his spots and being ready, all the things you talk about are things that have to come with time because there has to be a synergy offensively and defensively. You know, he can't exist out there by himself. So getting himself in position to receive passes from the guys that are passing and those guys getting to those spots and being ready to make those passes, it's tough until you find that chemistry. So I think he's finding it not just with Chris, with Devin, but with Mikel, with Jay. And you're starting to see his consistency throughout the entire possession, and that's what's exciting about his arc.
Well, you got to have the confidence level too, right? The other half, the players have to have confidence that they could feed him the ball, that they could look for him, that he's going to run the court and get rewarded. How much has the confidence level with his teammates changed in the last 3 months?
Well, it's been tremendous to see it both ways. You know, for DeAndre to see his confidence in himself, but also his teammates seeing having confidence that DeAndre can help and bail them out, because I think a lot of times we don't acknowledge that just how much DeAndre does to lighten the load on our best players, and so it's really good for him and it's great for the team because when you have a team full of confident individuals and they're confident in each other, you have complete trust and complete trust wins games.
James Jones, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo show. Is Cameron Payne one of the most satisfying finds of your general manager career?
It would have to be. You know, Cam is the ideal story of a guy that just needs to find a team, a system, and a group that believed in him. And he's able to get comfortable. And you can just see how dynamic he is. I've said before, you know, the kid, he was a lottery pick for a reason because they saw that potential. And I'm just grateful and happy that he's been able to reach that potential with this group.
He's playing at a level. And I remember talking with people on the Lakers coaching staff that he was just too quick for him. They didn't have an answer for him. I mean, he that acceleration and getting to the basket, he was causing the Lakers so much problem. And then he did it to the Nuggets. And now he's doing it to the Clippers and just playing at a level that is phenomenal. He's making himself a lot of money for next year. I'll tell you that right now. But he has been such a valuable piece for you coming in and giving you those minutes. And when you ask a guy, you know, you ask a lot of your role players to come in and contribute a little bit. But what you've asked out of him is maybe more than you've asked out of anybody else. You've asked him to replace Chris Paul for two games in the Western Conference Final, and he's done that.
Well, you know, we with all of our guys, you know, regardless of the role, we just ask them to be themselves. And we try to put them in a position to play their best ball, to play their best game. And Cam, like you said, he's lightning quick, tremendous burst, amazing feel around the basket. You know, his touch, his craftiness, his creativity around the rim is really exciting to watch. But he works on it, and he works on it daily. And we can see him improve internally. So when people are surprised that Cam's having this much success, a lot of times we laugh and we smile internally because we know this is what we expect. This is what Cam expects, and that's why he's able to do it every night.
All right, James, halfway home front in the Western Conference Finals. Congratulations on what you guys have accomplished so far. We look forward to talking to you next week. Good luck in Los Angeles for the rest of this week, okay?
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, James.
James Jones joining us, Coulter Automotive Group, Sportsline, Coulter Infinity Luxury Cars, legendary service, visit cultureinfinity.com. So again, the update.
So we'll know in about an hour and a half.
No confirmation on Chris Paul. He would not provide that, but there will be another injury report that will come out sometime in the 5 o'clock hour, much like there was one yesterday, we'll find out then.
Not be surprised if he is cleared health and safety protocol. Surprised at all.
I wouldn't be either. When we come back, there's no denying CP3 has been a huge driving force for the Suns this season. Last night, CP15 was the man. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Greg almost lost it. Now feeds it back on top to Payne. Running out of time. 5 seconds to get a shot. Here's Payne on the drive. Go to the rim. Score. Cameron Payne. New career high. 25 points for Payne.
Welcome back. Burns and Gambo show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I lost track of who, but somebody last night after the game tweeted out that if you had told me after game two of the 2021 Western Conference, if you had told me 3 years ago, after game two of the Western Conference Finals, that Ty Lue would have said this.
We just had no answer for Cameron Payne. He really got downhill all night. His speed and his quickness really hurt us, you know, in that game.
I would have been like, what the hell are you talking about, dude? If you had told me 3 years ago, after game two of the Western Conference Finals, Ty Lue would have said, yeah, we just had no answer for campaign.
Nobody's had an answer for campaign.
What color is the sky in your world, right? That's what you would have said to that person 3 years ago. Nobody's had an answer to campaign.
No.
He was incredible. I can't believe it's 3:51 in the afternoon. And this is really the first time we're talking about him, and that's a shame.
But we're talking about him. I mean, he's got this segment to himself. This kid's making himself a lot of money, man. I know this. I thought this to myself, and I hate going there. I don't really want to talk about what's going to happen until after the season's over. Then we could delve into that, dive into that, whatever it is, all day, every day, to kind of figure out how they could keep this team together. But, man, I'm watching campaign just dominate that basketball. Maybe his best game as a pro. Game high, career high, 29 points. Oh. He shot 12 out of 24. His quick burst to beat defenders off the ball, get to the rim. Before the weak side help could come, 9 assists, no turnovers.
No turnovers.
No turnovers in the game.
Zero.
I mean, and I'm thinking to myself, my God, like this guy, like I really hope that he gets a great ovation. I really hope hope he gets a great ovation for the Suns fan when he comes back next year in another uniform. Like, well, I don't know how they're going to afford this guy. You know, there's 5 GMs right now saying that's my starting point guard next year.
I know. Just, you know what? Try not to worry about that yet.
I know. I'm trying not to.
I know. You just said 3 times, we're not going to talk about it. And yet you keep going back to it. Don't worry about it.
Because you know what? That's one of those guys. God, I really. Hey, listen, I got to give DeAndre a contract and Mikhail, and you got to make sure. Man, how about that guy?
Yeah.
Like, how about that guy?
Just enjoy the now.
I know.
Worry about the later, later. Enjoy the now.
You're right.
Because I don't know what the later is going to look like. Enjoy the now, because Cameron Payne was magnificent last night. And you're right. The two numbers that stand out to me the most, there's no debating it. That was his best game as a professional basketball player. I don't even know. Given the circumstances, I don't even know what else could be in that conversation.
Man, there's a lot of guys that play the whole career and never have a game like that.
The two numbers that stood out to me, the zero in the turnover column, which was extraordinary, and the fact that he took more shots than anybody else on that Suns roster last night. He took 24 shots, and there was no reason for him to not take more. There was no reason for him to not be the shot-taker leader for the Suns last night.
It is amazing the inability. And there's two things that happen when he has that quick burst. Okay, there's two things that are. The first thing I understand. The second thing I don't understand. His quick burst can get by his initial defender, whoever's guarding him. He's been able to do that with that quick step. You know he's going to the basket. How is their weak side defensive help not quick enough to get over there? And when they do get over there, it's somehow an up and an under and a scoop and an around. It's like, okay, even when they do get there, like, okay, you're there.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go either behind you or in front of you or around you, or I'm going to tie you into a pretzel, and you're not going to know that I'm scooping the ball up. It's a reverse layup. It's off the backboard. There are so many things that he does when he gets by his initial defender that he does to the second defender. And like I said, it's almost to me, it's like he ties that guy up in a pretzel.
And as a Forever Suns fan, I can't help but to mention the fact that he is the latest in the long line of backup point guards that we just love around here in Phoenix, right? Whether it's Elliot Perry, whether it's Frank Johnson, right? There's something about the backup point guard that is just always for whatever reason, resonated in this town. Not lately, because they've had such a hard time getting point guards in here. We promised one of our listeners that we would not go without having a conversation about the other Cam last night. Cam Johnson.
Have to.
5 of 5 from the floor. He was
huge.
So good last night.
Yeah, 11 points when the other guys were struggling, right? Jay struggled. He made the best pass of the game, but he struggled. He had 2 points. He didn't make a field goal. Mikal Bridges, 5 points, 2 out of 7 shooting. If I told you Mikal Bridges and Jay Crowder were combined 2 for 10 from the field in that game, and they combined for like 7 points, you'd be like, oh man, the Suns might be in trouble. Right? You might be in trouble. Your two wings shot 3 for 10.
2 for 10.
2 for 10.
2 for 10, 7 points combined. If it's one of those, if you told me 2 for 10, 7 points combined from Mikal and Jay Crowder, Devin Booker goes 5 of 16 and has 7 turnovers, I think the Suns lose by 10 points.
Yes.
I say, okay, yeah. The Suns lost by 10 points.
Yes.
That was the Clippers game to steal. That was it. That was your game. You missed it. You had your window. You had your opportunity. You missed it. That was your game to take, and you didn't take it.
Yeah, that's Skip Bayless.
Don't even give him the time.
You know, he tweeted out that it was robbery. I tweeted out, you know what's robbery? You getting paid by somebody for your opinion.
Did you actually?
I tweeted that out. You wanted, hey, Skip, you want to know what's robbery? Somebody pays you for your opinion.
You've been
robbing people for decades. Decades of robbing people for your opinion that nobody cares about.
All you do when you mention him is you make people go seek him out to see what it was that he said, and he's just not worthy of it.
He's got no ratings, and they still pay you.
He's like Beetlejuice. If you say his name 3 times, he's going to
show up. Skip Bayless is going to be in our Bayless. Oh my God, there's Skip. Right? Just I give him no attention. I give him none because I don't want anyone going to read the stupid stuff that he says. Because it's stupid.
Did we all see Eddie Johnson's clapback at him last night?
Yeah.
That is worth going and seeking out his response to one of Skip's tweets last night.
Every time you cash a paycheck, man, that's called robbery, Skip.
When we come back, Suns already up 2 games to none on the Clippers. And now as the series moves to L.A., reinforcements could be on the way.
Let's go.
Talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show.